Well, if I don't preach with passion, it's because of the snow, okay? I'm Cuban, so this weather is driving me crazy. I've been singing all morning, Holy Spirit, activate. Holy, and see the fire comes and takes this snow away, but it's not happening. But here we are, 2025, and we are now in a new year. And as I was praying about the sermons series for this year, I was led by the Spirit to tap into the parables of the kingdom. Jesus taught about the kingdom and the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven more times than he taught on any subject, including the church. 50 to 70 times he was mentioning the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, to the point that he taught through all these parables, and until the disciples at the end, he asked them, do you understand now? And they said, yes, we understand. So it was so many times, so many parables, so many teachings until they get it. So my hope is that we all get it, that when we leave this place after this sermon series, we all understand the kingdom of God. I remember when I came to Christ, and one of my first teachings from my pastors and the mentors that I had was, this is the order of priority. First, God, then family, then church, then your job and responsibilities, and then everything else. That's the order that I learned. And then I got older and reading the word of God more and learning more. And then when I learned about the kingdom, I realized that in reality, the right order is God, the kingdom, then the family. Because the families are connected to what? To God and his kingdom. We are families that are connected to the kingdom. And there is a big and clear distinction between the king and its kingdom. And those two are different. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, you say, our God, our Father. Stop there. So the kingdom has to come first, right? So that's the idea, right? The king is represents God, and then the kingdom, his influence. But let's start diving into this so we learn more about it. So we're going to reflect on all these practical teachings. Jesus has this tendency to teach people with parables just to see how hungry we are to seek and go deeper. So if you just go with the teaching, like in this case, it's an agricultural teaching and farmers, and if you stay there, you lose the point. So he wants you to go what? Deeper. So that's why he was teaching us with parables. And he says that the reason he does that is for us to be hungry and ask for more and go deeper. But he also said that the secrets of the kingdom is not for everybody. It's for the children of God. So that explains why you try to explain sometimes the scriptures and things that God is saying to other people they don't understand. And then you get frustrated and you get angry. But Jesus already said, the secrets of the kingdom is not for everyone. It's for the children of God and his disciples. So we cannot expect the world and we cannot expect everyone to receive the word of God the same way. Does that make sense? So if you go to the university and you have a religion class, guess what? They're going to taught the value, the Bible, and the value of the teaching will be a historical book, but the book will be closed without the Holy Spirit. You can go through the whole 66 books, and without the Holy Spirit, all these secrets will not be open to you or me. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need to be connected to God as our Father, and he sent his Son, and only through the Son we have a revelation of God the Father, his kingdom, his word, and us. And as we walk together this path, learning about all these teachings, my hope is that we grow stronger on what the kingdom actually is, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So many times you're going to hear the kingdom of God, or sometimes you hear the kingdom of heaven, it's the same thing. In the past, historically speaking, Jesus and the scholars And the people in the Bible use the kingdom of heaven not to mention God so much, because that name is holy. And in the Jewish tradition, they avoid to say God so many times. So they exchange this for the kingdom of heaven. So we learn more. But this is the question. Sometimes you are going through your own life and you experience that sometimes you are fruitful, you are on fire. Other times you are dry. Why is that? Another question. People can sit under the same sermon, and what happens? Someone gets it, someone don't. Someone is transformed, the other person remains unchanged. Why is that? Why does that happen? And Jesus is teaching us through the parables of the sower or the farmer how that happens. Jesus teaches us that what? What is the determining factor? The condition of our hearts determine how we receive God's word and its effectiveness in our daily basis. So if we have our hearts on the right place, then we can receive the word, understand the word, and apply the word. And the effectiveness of the word comes by our understanding. The way we understand and receive that word brings us effectiveness. That's what brings the kingdom of God closer to us, and the kingdom of God will advance with a strong impact in our life. So you have the kingdom of God and the word kingdom in two languages that the Bible is written, Hebrew and Greek. Basileia and Malkut, and both words make a clear distinction between the king and the kingdom. And when you see the king, in this case, Jesus is the king of kings, you have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, then you have the influence of the kingdom. You have the word of God. So where what the king thinks, what the king says becomes law. That's the kingdom, right? And when you come to a kingdom, which is sometimes really hard to see in these days, but a kingdom is measured by the quality of life of the people. A king has different roles and functions. A king has to protect his people. A king has to provide for his people. A king has to establish law and protection for his people. And a king also has to advance the development of the people so they grow in education, in knowledge, and all of that. So this is why sometimes when we are praying for protection, provision, and you don't get it, because sometimes God is testing you and see if you know him, people get angry and stop praying at all. Because the expectation is that if you are joining the kingdom of God, God will provide all of that to you and to me. But when we say kingdom, here's what we're saying. The presence of God is in a place. When a presence of God is in a place, we say the kingdom of God is here. When the word of God is preached, you say the kingdom of God is here. When someone is doing the will of God, you can say the will of God is here. And the kingdom of God is here. When you are worshiping God, you say, the kingdom of God is here. When you come to the table, which is a means of grace, and you get communion, the kingdom of God is here. That's why Jesus was teaching us that the kingdom of God is everywhere, but first is in our hearts. And the moment we understand that, now you go into places knowing that the kingdom is in you. It doesn't matter what is going on around you, you can bring the kingdom of God to that place through you. You become an instrument, a channel of the kingdom of God on earth. And when that happens, that's powerful, because that shifts everything. So if you know that, Abraham understood that. When Abraham went to receive the calling of God, and he went to the promised land and started walking to the promised land, he understood that the blessing and the kingdom of God was in him. So when Lot asked him, and it says in Genesis 13 and 14 that Lot and Abraham separates. So when they start arguing, and Abraham said to Lot, okay, the whole earth is before you. You choose first. Lot looked at everything, and he watched, and he looked, and he said, okay, I want that place, the best place. I want that place. And after he chose the place, Abraham said, guess what? Now I'm going to choose. He gave priority to Lot. Why? Because Lot was moving by what he saw. And he thought that the blessing and the kingdom of God is in a place. Abraham knew that the kingdom of God is in him. Therefore, wherever he goes, the kingdom of God is. The blessing is on me. It's not on a place. And that's why, if you understand this, when we receive this understanding, we're going to move and walk in a way, in a so connected intimacy with God, that now, when you walk with trust and assurance that God is with you. And as that develops in you, you're going to stop praying and asking for stuff and seeing God as an ATM machine. Now you have the revelation that he's in you, you are in him, you trust him. And because of that, you know that you know that you know that he is with you. And because of that, I can now rest. When I see troubles and tribulation and sins happening in the world, in my family, then I can rest. Everything will be fine. Because if the kingdom of God is here, everything has to align to that sooner or later. So Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of God. He was trying to infuse in us the fire and the understanding and the hunger for the kingdom of God, so it grows in our lives internally. Touch your heart and see if it's beating. Can you touch your heart? Do you feel it? So you are alive. You are alive. If you go to the scriptures from Genesis to the Revelation, everything is about our hearts. That determines everything. Your way of life, your thoughts, your emotions, what you do, everything is connected to your heart. So 2025 is here, and as you plan your resolutions for this year, I beg you to go to the secret place and place your heart before God and say, God, if anything that does not, that's not pleasing you, remove it right now in the name of Jesus. Create in me a pure heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Change my heart. Transform my heart. When that happens, everything begins to shift. If you do that, then you close your eyes and start walking, knowing that things will fall into place. I decided I'm going to be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. And that decision only comes if you walk close by God, because the pressure of the world will challenge you every day to turn your concerns with the things of men instead of the things of God. So when you reflect on all of this, we understand that the soil is the human heart, and how the kingdom advances depends on what? How many of you want the kingdom of God advancing here at St. John? Amen to that? So then it depends of our hearts. The advancing of the kingdom depends of the conditions of our hearts, not the hearts of the people in Southeast. Our hearts. If our hearts are in alignment with Jesus, the Holy Spirit will manifest in a way that will push out anything that is evil and not according to God's agenda. And at that moment, I realized that I want God's agenda. Once you are in alignment with God, you say, whatever it takes, I want your agenda. And when you are going through trials and tribulation, instead of praying, God, take me out, my prayer is, give me the strength to remain in until you say so. That shift your mindset and your desire to please him, because everything is based on the conditions of our hearts. So you see Jesus teaching about the kingdom, saying that the kingdom is here, but not yet. It's not fully realized. Why? Because he was born, he went to the cross, and then he went up to heaven. And now he's saying, I'm coming back again. The day of the Lord is coming. I will come back and I will purge evil from the earth, and only the righteous will inherit the earth. And I will come back. That's why this tension between is yet here, not yet, here, not yet. And living in this liminal space is tough. Because for you, it's so easy to go with your life, go on with your life, feeling and thinking without knowing and understanding that God wants you to be more than a creature. He wants you to be a child. He wants us to think and pray and be hopeful, because we are the crown of creation. We are His children. You are not a tree. You are a child of God. And when the moment you understand that, your life will change. You are not a tree. It's a knowing. It's no, it's no, it's no. You're not a tree. Move. Right? You're not a goose only flying south. You can switch. You can go north, south, east, and west. So we are the crown of creation. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the moment we do that, God will reveal Himself. He will come back again. And doesn't matter how the world is going, that's also a testament that Jesus is coming back to change everything. Revelation 21. And when He comes, He will flip everything in the favor of the kingdom. So those who are seeking the kingdom of God first, everything will be given to them. But here is the warning. The entry of the kingdom of God is marked first for faith and repentance, which means that to bring the kingdom of God, the condition of our hearts demand that we have faith. We believe that God is God, that He is the one who sent His Son, that He died for me on the cross, and that the Holy Spirit is here to transform my heart and reveal to me that the Son died for me and He's my Savior. The moment I do that, now I recognize that I need a Savior. I'm a sinner, and I repent from my sins. Boom, the kingdom of God show up. So this is not a formula. This is not about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No. It's not a formula, my friend. If you don't repent, if you don't have faith, you can say the Lord's Prayer every single minute and nothing will happen. This is not a technique, a formula. This is not a religion. This is a relationship, a connection with God. You know God and He knows you. And at that moment, now you understand what the kingdom of God is. Now you understand what eternal life is. Get to know God. Getting to know God and make Him known. Wow. Then it's not about getting stuff. It's not about praying for my house, praying for this, praying for that, give me a job, heal me. All of that is the gravy. That's not the steak, my friend. The steak is getting to know God. Why do you pray? Why do you worship? To get to know God and make Him known. That's the purpose of discipleship. That's the purpose of the kingdom of God. When we have that revelation, now we stop asking God like He is an ATM machine. And now we say, He's my Father. And I know it. I know His voice. And He knows mine. He knows my thoughts. I'm not afraid. And when that happens, it's powerful. How many of you want that? Want that relationship? When you're walking so close to God that you are not fearful, because you know that whatever happens, He has your back. He's with you. He's with you. So let's examine our hearts and now see what Jesus is teaching us on with these four type of soils that reveals different type of hearts. So the sermon is about to start. So I'm going to give you the example in a way that is practical. I'm not going to read the whole Matthew 13. It will be too long. But here is what I'm going to do it in a way that you can see it easily, in a practical way, okay? You're like, come here. Jesus taught us that basically there are four type of soils, which is four type of hearts. And here's what Jesus says. The first type is the seed that fall where? On the path. That's the first type. And He says that the people with that type of heart receive the word with joy, and then they don't understand. And the enemy comes and snatches it away. So it's like this. This is the word of God. This is the message of the kingdom. And you give it to someone, and he doesn't understand. He's confused. It's so easy to snatch something from the hand of a person that don't understand. In fact, if you are talking to a person and you feel that person don't understand you, you stop talking. Yes or no? Okay, why? Because it's important to understand something to protect it. Once you understand that you have received a gift, now, doesn't matter what I do, he will protect it. But the reason he's not protecting it, he's acting confused. What is this? What is this? What is this? Whop! So easy to snatch. Second type of soil. He says it's the rocky soil. In the rocky soil, he says that the person receives the word with joy, but then trials and persecution comes, and because the person has no roots, the enemy takes it away again. So it's like this. Act joyful. Yay, right? Awesome. And then he says that he's joyful. Yes, hallelujah. But then he says persecution will come because of the word. Not because of him. Because of what? The word. So now he's joyful and now he's going to be persecuted. And the moment the persecution comes, he starts running with it, and he said because he doesn't have a root, he gives it away. Wow. Imagine that you receive a word and now you are persecuted and you don't want to be persecuted anymore, so you give it away. So I'm not persecuted anymore, I'm fine. Persecution stopped. Why? Because you give away the word. Because persecution comes because of what? The word. So you don't want to be persecuted? Easy. Give the word away. You embrace the word. Get ready, my friend. You are going to be persecuted. And he says that you're going to be joyful when you receive it. Emotion comes, but you don't have a root, which means that in the 21st century, everything is about feelings. Guess what? If your faith is based on feelings, you're going to have a very short faith and a very short relationship with God. Because anything that you base on feelings will not last, even your marriage. How many of you feel like being married today? How many of you feel like being married when your spouse is arguing with you, you are fighting, and you have problems and situations? If your relationships with a friend or your spouse or whoever, or your children, is based on feelings, that's a problem, because then you can exit. And the heart is deceitful. That's what God says, that feelings go up and down, and you will lose. But if your faith is based on what? Trust, certainty, knowing God, getting to know God, doesn't matter what happened, doesn't matter how you feel, because I'm telling you, when you are persecuted, it's not going to feel good. You're not going to feel good. Do you think that if we stone him to death because of the word, he's going to feel good? Do you think that if we imprison him because of the word, do you think he's going to feel good? If we crucify him because of the word, do you think he's going to feel good? The answer is no. The answer is no. It's based on what? Certainty. Certainty. Knowing. And once you know, bring it on, my friend. Deny Jesus. No, I don't. I won't, because I know the truth. And the last piece, the third one, before the good one, is even more dangerous, because then it says, this is the thorny soil. And when he received the word, he understands it, but here's the problem. It says that the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the world. Wow. In other words, now he have it. He understand it. He have it. But now he's worried about his own life, his own problems. He's seeking success and money and other stuff. And that choke the world. And now he has no fruit. He's all leaves. And you know what happened last time? Jesus went to a tree and found only leaves. This is what the Bible says in Matthew 21, that he went to the fig tree and only leaves, and he cursed the fig tree because it has no fruits. Jesus is expecting us to have fruits. John 15, you bear fruit. If you are in me, you will bear fruit. So how do you know that your heart is in the right place? Because of the fruits. I know people who pray all day, go to church all day, worship all day, no fruits. Something is wrong. The heart is wrong. And you can fake it to the pastor and to the next person by your side, but to God, I have news for you. Impossible. And when we understand that, then you're going to say, no, 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 God, change my heart. I want to go to the next level. What is the next level? Good soil. Because in the thorny place, in the thorny stage, it's difficult. Remember that passage of Peter, when Peter went to Jesus and Jesus asked to the disciples, who people say I am? And Peter, full of the Spirit, he said, you are the living God. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, Peter, that was revealed to you not by flesh and blood, but by your Father in heaven. And when Peter heard that, I'm super spiritual. Hallelujah. Irrabakanda. Hallelujah. I have it now. And then Jesus said, you said I'm the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I'm going to the cross and I'm going to die. And Peter said, don't do that. And you know what Jesus said? Get behind me, Satan. Because you are concerned with the things of men, not with the things of God. So what is walking in alignment with Satan? When you are only concerned about the things of this life, about the things of men. What is walking in the kingdom? When you are concerned with God's agenda. And that's what I want for St. John. That's what I want for my family. We want God's agenda. We want to be concerned with the things of God. Wow. So the last piece is good soil. How many of you want to be good soil this 2025? How many of you want to be good soil this 25? It says that when you are good soil, easy. You receive the word. And what happens? You give fruits and you give a crop, 30, 60, and 100. So your heart becomes what? Influential. And now you not only receive the word, now you're making disciples. 30, 60, 100. Imagine. So if this goes well, Eli should produce in his lifetime minimum 30 disciples. 60 or 100 according to his gifts. And I believe this guy is very gifted. How many of you believe that? Thank you. Thank you. So, are we producing fruits? That's the question. So when you see all of this, these are the summary of all this word. If you don't understand the heart, if you don't understand the word, your heart will be hardened. And then this example about Israel, God challenging Israel, don't resist my word. You know me and I know you. You should now receive, don't be prideful. Protect yourself from spiritual blindness, all of that. And that's the path. And then you have the second one, which is the rocky soil. And now, because of the lack of death, no root, persecution comes, you lose it. Now you have the rocky soil, and they have the example of Pharaoh. You have the example of Israel resisting God, becoming difficult, but God wants us to move forward. The thorny soil is when people don't connect with God, and they are deceived by the riches of this world, unfruitful, choosing worldly concerns over God's kingdom. And now you have the example of Solomon, super wise. How many of you know Solomon? Solomon is King Solomon. Super wise. Full of wisdom. But that wisdom took him away from God. So that type of wisdom, I don't want. Okay? So it's okay to go to school? Yes. It's okay to get your degrees? Yes. It's okay to be interplanetary doctor? Fine. But here is the problem. If your schooling, your academics degrees, or your success, or your money, or whatever takes you away from God, you are a fool. Because true revelation is understanding that someone is more is smarter than you. Someone smarter than you is running this place. That's the mark that you really are aware and awake. And how do you know that? So when you go into a room, some people say, and that's what you hear on Facebook, on YouTube, Snapchat, and all those places, you are the smarter person in the room. Act like it. Go into a room, own the room. Guess what? If you are smart, you shut up and ask questions. Because most likely, in that room, there is someone who is smarter and brighter than you. And if you ask questions, you will learn. And how do you know that? Because people who think are smart, they monopolize the conversations. They speak, don't shut up, and monopolize, control everything. But when you are humble, you go in knowing that in this group, in this audience, someone is smarter than me. Let me ask questions. Wherever you go, when you're going to get married, guess what? There is always someone prettier than your husband. Yes or no? Don't believe me? Go to the gym. Find all these people there all day. And your husband show up, honey. Guess what? Because your life is not based on beauty and wisdom and all that stuff. Your life is based on covenant. That's the reality of this. And when we understand and embrace this, God transforms us. So let's pray and let's prepare our hearts to come to the table of the Lord, which is the safest place on earth to transform your heart, so that my heart and your heart is transformed. Transformed. For I receive from the Lord what I now pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Eat in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Loving Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon these elements. Make them for us the body and the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to invite those who are going to help me serve to come forward, and let's confess our sins and make our declaration. 1, 2, 3. Merciful God. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proved God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Those who are going to help me to serve, come forward. The Lord's table is open for those who love Jesus and understand that he died for us on the cross. If you need gluten-free bread, we also have it here for you. But the table is open for those who love Jesus. Come forward.